some lighting stuff on.
ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितान्तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत श्री राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्री हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे These are the invocation mantras, the formulas which are identical with the absolute truth. They do not have different meanings, but one unifying meaning that we try to concentrate upon. Means it's the object of meditation. In the absolute realm, the objective which is absolute in nature, it is not either void, impersonal, but it is very personal. Void and impersonal, these are some aspects of the absolute truth. Void is negation, but yet they have to resort on the sound vibration. The impersonal, they have also to resort to the sound vibration to invoke the knowledgeability aspect of the absolute. But there is a meditative process which a yogi or a practitioner try to concentrate within his mind through the sound vibrations which enter, means which permeate in its body, mind, intelligence and ego, and penetrates into the heart. These sound vibrations are of different wavelength, and these constitute the formulae. They are called mantras. And they have reachability up to one's own heart, where the absolute can be found. Alright. But these are the yogis, generally term the yogic process. But beyond the yogis, there is the culmination of such practice within one's thinking, feeling and willing aspect, means mind, words and activities that constitute to the personality aspect. And that's a subject matter of meditation for devotees or those who are practitioners of loving devotional service. Means by active dynamic participation in the process of pure devotion. Now, it means there are different persons preferring different processes. It's according to their perception. But we see the sound vibration becomes the common medium for everyone. Therefore, the meditation is depending upon how do we vibrate the sound. How do we vibrate the sound? The different types of vibrations are there. Different types of influences in vibrations are there. But sometimes the vibrations are also influenced by other, say, like modes of material nature. They influence. We call it contaminate the pure sound vibration. The three modes of material nature contaminate the sound vibration. Otherwise, the sound of the absolute should be absolute in nature. That's the philosophy. Anything pertaining to the absolute is also absolute in nature. Now, why do we pick up absolute? Because it denotes something to the point of reality. The one which is temporary is not called absolute. One which is fleeting, changeable, is not called absolute. When we came 2 years back, you know, we tried to address to the nature of the absolute by some diagram and systematic approach to that. If you remember, I don't know, you were here. There was a different batch altogether. Anyway, the definition of the absolute is considered like that. The Supreme Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, from whom everything that emanates is also perfect and complete. Even after producing perfect and complete units, it remains perfect and complete. It does not deteriorate, does not disintegrate. You know? So when we see the absolute conception is something of an important aspect of our being. Our reality around us depends upon that absolute nature. Otherwise, one that is changing, fleeting, and even sometimes captivating, or putting it into a kind of illusory aspect, it cannot be absolute in nature. It keeps on changing. How can it be ever absolute? So, but the holy sound vibrations are very important. Because in the beginning of the creation there was the Word, and the Word was God. Or in that sense we see the Shabda Brahman in Sanskrit means the word that denotes the absolute, that has a resounding effect. And almost every denomination and religious system take the help of these sound vibrations, because in our created or manifested state of existence, the cause of creation would be coming from sound vibration. But it is not cause of all causes. The cause of all causes is the influence of the Supreme Absolute Truth, from whom the sound vibration becomes the representation. Therefore, even in Bhagavad Gita, Om, Tat, Sat, these three words have been used as indicative to that absolute sound, or the sound representation of the absolute truth. Om, Tat, Sat, Iti, Nirdesho, Brahmanastita. Nirdeshatmak means indicating. It's pointing to the absolute truth through the sound vibration. Just like Even if we want to ordinarily address a living being, a human being going by, "Hey, Mr. Chemist, can you hear me, please? Mr." The address word is. It's an indicative name. The names are expanding from the chief name of a person. He may be addressed in an indicative form or a pronoun form. Anything. You. Who. There is the supreme objective. So in our tradition of devotion or Krishna consciousness, we have the supreme objective. We call the absolute truth personality of God. Now, his name are known different from him. The holy sound vibration about him by his nomenclature is absolute in nature. This is said in the Vedic literatures that the holy name is just like touchstone. Nama chintaman. Chaitanya means very, very dynamic, means full of activity, full of mobility. Dynamism is there. Nama chintamani. Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigraha. Krishnasya Nama Chintamani. The holy name of Lord Krishna is like touchstone. Means anything it coming in contact with it, it turns into its own nature. The holy name is like touchstone. Nama Chintamani. Krishnasya Chaitanya Rasavigraha. It's full of mellows. Because the ultimate aim for pertaining to any process, the ultimate aim is to get a position which is eternal, ever knowledgeable, and blissful. So, bliss or the pleasure potency is invoked. A satisfying potency, pleasure potency is invoked, and the embodiment of the Supreme Lord, who is the all pleasure, therefore he is addressed as all attractive, all pleasure, like Krishna, Rama. These are so much in tune with the qualities, the transcendental qualities of the holy name itself. So, when the manifestation of that personality is there, anything about him becomes absolute in nature and should satisfy all the criteria of the definition of the absolute. That's in the Vedic philosophy. Now, by taking this particular holy name, the sound vibration generates the identical effect. And therefore, it should be always chanted. Singularly, collectively, in any form. Because the holy name is not going to be changed. But as I said, the sound vibration can become less effective if it is tainted by the material modes of a person who is chanting. Because our conception in the form of body, which is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, all this constitution are a created energy, which is different from the energy of the Supreme Absolute Truth, probably an opposite nature. Therefore, if we chant the holy name, or the sound vibration that comes out from that, it's like creating a dim effect, not a powerful effect of its original nature. So, for example, sun. Sunlight is shining. Today is a bright sun, right? But sometimes in this cold season, which is dissipating now, the mist will be there in the morning. And even though sun is already rising, but the mist obstructs the sunlight. Sunlight is not contaminated, but our nature of ignorance, the mode of ignorance, may cover it. So we may not get the full effect. So sometimes there are clouds of anarthas or unwanted things which are more obstructing the powerful sunlight. So these things are there. But it is the effect of that sound vibration or the holy name or the sunlight that dissipate the mist as well as clouds. So we should have a very convicted faith in the effect of the holy name. Regardless, it may give a dim effect, but the absolute sound vibration is so powerful that it will dissipate one day or another, sooner or later. It depends upon how fast we are able to help ourselves to eradicate the effect of that. So, the meditative aspects means concentrating aspect on the holy name or the sound vibration of the absolute nature. That has to be understood. As I said, the four aspects that one who wants to have an inclination to acquire knowledge aspect of the absolute truth, he also adopts a sort of meditative process, but through the passages of the revealed scriptures and gather the information. But unless and until he tries himself out, he won't be able to realize it. So the effect of knowledge aspect is impersonal. There is no personality, but regardless, it is a subject matter of absolute. So it has its own value. The second aspect is through the yogic process, the meditative aspect, where he has to go through Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga means eightfold different ladders of perfection, starting from Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Dharana, and Samadhi. Yama means restrainment of the mind and senses. Yamaniya. Asana means the sitting postures. Most of the West is familiar with the third aspect only. Alright? The sitting postures. The fourth is pranayam, the breathing exercises. Right? There are certain breathing exercises that are very, very important in order to control the balance of oxygen, carbon dioxide, and the stationary, what we call reserved air within the alveoli of the lungs. So yama, niyama, asana, pranayam, then pratyahara, that there are strict rules and regulations of the kind of food that we eat, because again the food carries the different modes of material nature that constitute the body. So naturally, it also affects our purpose, that it may not give us a good response. Certain foods are not at all conducive towards the aspect of controlling the senses. So that is pratyahara. Then dhyana, dharana, and samadhi, These three aspects are, dhyana means meditation. Meditation prerequisites these few stages. First six, five stages are the prerequisites for meditation. Then dharana means the conception comes. One cannot conceive something before. Rather, one has to prepare himself to conceive the ideology or the philosophy and try to verify it and then put into his concentration. That is called dharana. Dharana means conception. And samadhi. Then he becomes in tune by the controlled processes of the eightfold aspects. You know, the ultimate goal will be samadhi. Means sama means equal, dhi means intelligence. He is guided by his intelligence on the equanimity of every position. So it's a rigorous process. These processes were recommended in the other ages. And in Bhagavad Gita we find even 5,000 years back it was difficult by such a qualified person like Arjuna. He said, why? Because the flickering nature of the mind. Manaha chanchalam krishna pramathi balavadradam tasyam nigraham kim vayo riva shudushkaram. The flickeringness or the very agility in the mind is too difficult to control by the gradual process of eightfold yogi process, Patanjali yoga and other yogas. So this meditative process is not recommended. The qualification requires are also very stern. At the maximum what we can do in this age can keep the health. So, but how about mind? They won't give the guarantee. Yoga classes would not give the guarantee for controlling the mind, because it requires controlling the senses first. And senses are impetuous. It's too difficult. But regardless, the process which was so successful in the other ages, this same process or the same result of the same process can be equally achieved by a recommendation of concentration on the holy name alone, or the sound vibration of the Shabda Brahman alone. Now, that means the third aspect of the meditative process is bhakti aspect, where your entirety is engaged into the concentration we call Krishna consciousness. Consciousness is all-pervading. There is subconsciousness even in during the sleep going on. So every state of consciousness has to be equalized. But that is possible by the sound vibration, which is identical with the Supreme Absolute Truth. So there is no necessity for postures. There is no necessity for much of the requirement of regulated principles. Only primary regulated principles have been covered in general, and that is recommended. But most acknowledged principle of the holy name has been so much emphasized that that has to be employed wherever and anywhere. Regularly, irregularly, doesn't matter, but employ it. So we see why the holy name? Because it's identical. And the main process of meditation is to free the mind or deliver the mind through the mantra, this formulation of the holy name, because it denotes particular meaning which is appropriate for this particular age, how to cross over our very affliction in the very beginning. How to cross over, how to mitigate the problems and put us back into the normal position of our being. Our being means not this body, but the body has also been in tune or in transformation with the realization. Because body, mind and the soul are interconnected. Even though they are different faculties, they are interconnected. The subtle body of the soul is called the mind, intelligence and ego. The gross body is earth, water, fire, air, ether. So the idea is that body, mind and the soul, these three are supposed to be in harmonious situation of its original nature. Then and then he will be achieving the transcendence, peace, happiness, whatever you want to call it. That is in the state of liberation. One has to be in tune in these three aspects. So, now let's see. This process of vibrating the sound is recommended that you must engage all your senses in it simultaneously. How would you be able to do that? Simultaneously engage all the five senses in serving that transcendental sound. Got the idea, no? Chant on the holy beads. Engage your sense of touch, engage sense of smell, engage your sense of sight, engage your sense of taste even. The definition of the Absolute is the sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord is rasavigraha, means full of mellows. And these mellows have to be tasted by the tongue. The tongue has two functions, vibrating as well as tasting. But the sense of the taste is in the tongue. Therefore, understanding the mellow that is derived through the holy name, that has to be tasted. So, hearing, you have to hear too. In this way, five senses simultaneously engage in serving the transcendental sound vibration. Do you think mind have any reason to escape? No way. Guaranteed. So, how much strenuous situation that we are concentrating on all the senses. People go directly to the mind and try to concentrate something without controlling the senses. In Kathopanishad and other Vedic literatures, you know, the body is compared to a chariot. The five senses are compared to five horses that drag the chariot. The rein, the string that is attached to the horses just to control, is called mind, and the driver is called intelligence. The soul is only a passenger sitting. Now, when people go directly to the mind, you know, which itself is very flickery, very agile, very difficult to control, the reason is that it is loose. You can't trust him. So who should hold the tight ropes of rein? Intelligence should hold. Intelligence is the driver. And the charioteer, and he should hold the rein tight. Then and then, the horses will go in a desired goal. Otherwise not. Otherwise the passenger is in a very precarious condition, confused state of existence. We don't know what we are doing, what are we, where are we going. Even a person of good knowledgeability can be also perplexed at the time of emergency. It's that kind of, you know, nature that we are facing. So the idea is that in this age and time, the easiest way seems to be the most difficult. This is the recommendation. Therefore, Krishna endorses that I am the, out of all different kinds of sacrifices, I am the sacrifice of chanting the holy name. It's a sacrifice. Hold the rein up the mind very tight with your intelligence. Means that your determination would dictate the mind. Rather, mind will dictate you. When mind overpowers, you know, us, means we are not working on an intellectual platform. We are pulled by the mental conception, mental desires. That's very, what you call, chaotic life, very undisciplined life. When one is intelligent, he should have his mind controlled. That is the function of the intelligence. Otherwise, there is no difference. People have a lot of information in which is stored in the mind. It's like a memory bank, and that is not intelligence. But the discrimination to use the this information is called intelligence. Who holds that? So the soul should be intelligent. So in the meditative process, this dharana section means you have to use your intelligence to put up the determination, conceptual determination, that here, this is my desire, I have learned this, I want to use this. Now you decide. Unless and until we are coming to the point of decisiveness, which is coming last but one state, and that is a correct process, that it should not come before. It should come when you are ready, qualified, and then you can enter into the samadhi. Otherwise it's called misdirected situation, very uncontrollable process of even Ashtanga Yoga. Sometimes, have you heard Kundalini Yoga? You know, in Kundalini, where you invoke this energy through the spine, the spinal energy is Kundalini, and that is material in nature. But it is so concentrated energy that you have to raise it up through six different chakras, right? the controlling centers. People can raise up very quickly even Agya Chakra, means giving a directive, but they do not know how to pull back. They get locked up. They get crazy even. You know, people who are endowed with the raised kundalini, they can by touch do shakti path or energizing the other party, you know, so quickly. It's called sahaj, means immediately, but then an unqualified situation, it's too difficult to control it back. The desired effect will not be there. Alright. So it is a gradual process of raising the kundalini, and it can collaborate with the Ashtanga Yoga in a very stage-wise, gradual process of perfection. But in this age, it is difficult. It is difficult. So temporary results can be found, which might be alluring. But the whole purpose of the Ashtanga Yoga and the meditative process does not come through. So this is the general information of different kinds of yoga. But in this age and time, the concentration on the holy name directly that gives the transcendental sound vibration must be meditated by engaging all the senses so the mind can be tapped. Otherwise, if we go on the mind without controlling the senses, it is completely, you know, other way around and not successful. Because mind is the reservoir of all the sensual perceptions. And how can we go on the mind without controlling the senses? But the senses can be controlled if we engage them in the service of the absoluteness of the sound vibration. So that is easily practicable. There are no hard and fast rules. Simply you have to vibrate and try to engage each and every senses in on chanting on the beats. So any other process with besides the beats or the rosary do not help, because it does not engage all the five senses. If you lose any sense unattended, and you know, it will, mind will slip away from that gate. So awareness means consciousness has to be developed for the process, and it is ever encompassing process. So this is the purpose of meditation. It doesn't mean that by meditating you will become oblivious to your surrounding. No. Why should you be oblivious to the surrounding? You are full of dynamic activities, you are full of desires, and you are full of, you know, so much aspirations to achieve the goal of life, the supreme goal, your own happiness, your own bliss or eternal knowledgeable and blissful condition. Why should you be oblivious? So this awareness is the perfection. If you achieve, you will see, you will think, and your set of mind will always be in transcendence, even in the material world. It means you have conquered the effect of the matter. the desired goal is achieved. Otherwise we are subjugated to the illusion. Is it not the process of the perfectness has been demanded? Be perfect because our Father in the heaven is perfect. And the perfectness has been defined as the absolute truth, personality. And this process becomes, you know, absolute in nature. Nothing so different or completely contradictory to anything ever found. So Krishna gives advice that this process of cultivating the consciousness about Him is directly performed with observational truth. Pratyaksha avagamam. Avagamam means stage-wise performance of the process. Pratyaksha, right before your eyes. Dharmam susukham kartum avyayam. It is not difficult. It is pleasant to perform. It is very pleasant to perform. And avyayam means inexhaustible. Whatever the result you are going to achieve, it is inexhaustible. It is an ever credit. Means there is no expenditure for that. You will be ever in that blissful situation. However, how much you have achieved. If you have achieved 10%, well and good, you are lucky. You made through. But even 50%, 25%, it is ever a credit. It's not at all a losing proposal. It depends upon our sincerity. So, the sound vibrations are very divine in nature. If one cultivates faith on the holy name alone, then every success will be there. There are hundreds and millions of holy name of the Lord, according to both spiritual and material activities. By material activities pertaining to the Supreme Absolute Truth, if we chant those names, liberation is guaranteed. But if we chant the holy name of the Absolute, who is in interaction with His loving activities, then naturally those names which are called primary names will generate love of Godhead. The love aspect, not liberation aspect. Liberation aspect is already coming first, but for those who are in the material pertaining of the holy name, then those names will only generate the liberation aspect. Liberation from the material world. But because we are spiritual entity, spiritual existence and activity should be manifested. Impersonalists do not go into this realm because for the supreme objective, manifested objective, which is absolute in nature, has to be achieved by recognition first. Any objective, whether material or spiritual, has three aspects to understand. It has form, it has qualities, and it has its activities. Any object. Now, if we want to achieve any object, spiritual or material, we first establish relationship with Him. Second thing, we establish a process for achievement. And the third thing, we have a goal. What do we achieve? What do we have? What is the final destination? Right. For the Supreme Absolute, manifested in personality aspect, the relationship is eternal, and there are five major relationships. There are multiple mixed relationships according to different mellows. Therefore, there are five primary rasas, or the mellows, in these relationships are there. Right? Rasa, in Vedas, Krishna is said to be rasovaisaha. Rasovai, the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, Krishna is filled with all these mellows. One can have relationship him in servitorship, in fraternalship, in parental, in conjugal. One relationship is temporary, that's unifying aspect. But our individuality can never be lost. Therefore, it is a temporary situation. And therefore, awe and reverence is the only way that they can ever express this mellow with the Supreme. Awe and reverence. But actively engage in service, that is, in the servitorship, then fraternity, then parental, and then conjugal. The highest mellows are in conjugal relationships, with the absolute truth personality of Godhead, where there is no material modes ever contaminating. That is the description of the divine love affairs of Radha and Krishna. So the idea of the meditation is taking you to the realm of our personal interaction with the Supreme. You know. Anyway, so the process of sound vibrations have to be practiced. Every religion practices. But there is science behind it, they may not be knowing much aspect of it. So knowledge aspect is also essential, then performance aspect is there, then the achievement aspect is there. Simply knowledge is not good enough. Realization comes when we employ our knowledgeability into practice. So meditation, to meditate on, to concentrate upon the objective, the highest of ever possible objective. To meditate means to concentrate, to think about constantly. Meditation is not a short-term situation. Just meditate for 2 hours in the morning and rest, don't do anything. It will not establish the eternal aspect. How could we meditate 24 hours a day? That is the name of the game. How can we? 24 hours a day. If we use all the aspects of meditation and employ it in over 24 hours a day in varieties of activities in connection with that absolute truth, they are also meditation. In the process of pure devotion or cultivating devotional meditation, one and one objective that we have to think is of Krishna, and how to remember him. How to remember him in all activities throughout the day. That is the goal. Therefore, so much literature and the revealed scriptures have been found which are on the basis of the realized knowledge that the one and one function of any process of meditation that you take is just to think constantly about the Supreme. Every other process is but subservient to it. So the cardinal principle in meditation is to think constantly on the Absolute Truth, which is of so much variegated rasas, mellows and other things. If you have all these different phases, however you want to indulge, you can indulge in it. There is ever freshness. In ever new phase of approach will be there. So you will never get bored. You will never get bored. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dhradabhrata namasyantyascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam kirtayanto. Always chanting my glories. Always chanting my glories. Always means 24 hours. No spare time. Then, Satatam kirtayantum yatantascha dhradavrata. With fast, steadfast determination, he should be practicing or performing all the activities that support these activities of remembering. All the activities should be also Krishna conscious. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer as a homage, or whatever you give as charity, whatever you do the austerity for, just perform as an offering to him. So where is the conception will go about to get away from thinking of the Lord? Satatam kirtayanto mam, not anybody else, mam means me, he says. Yatantascha dhradavrata, always strive for working hard, practicing with firm determination. Namaschintascha mam bhaktya, always remaining humble and trying to fulfill whatever I command. Nitya yukta upasate. Nitya means always, 24 hours a day. Yukta, they will be in my connection. And upasate means they will be worship. 24-hour worship. It's a dovetailing of consciousness on one focal point only. That is the ultimate aim of this meditation. A 24 hours practical, applicable meditation. Otherwise, 2 hour meditation and 22 hour of, you take very good bath in the clear water and come again on the material world and get contaminated again, get disturbed by the minds and pulls of the senses. Where will be the liberation coming through? But this, just thinking of the absolute whole in personality aspect, we are able to relate with him because we are persons. And we are transcendental person as real person, not in the temporary body. We are called real. And therefore the Lord claims, you are my part and parcel. The soul is part and parcel of the super soul. But we want to get away, and then we are in trouble. Okay, we'll do meditate for 2 hours and that will be enough. It's a little bit, impractical. So we have to accept a process that you don't have to give up whatever you are doing, but do it in consciousness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. That is an art of living, which will remind you of Him. Whatever you do, do business, do teaching. Now, that is the meditation. It's not a short-term situation that has been ever prescribed. It's an eternal business. In every religion, our aspect is to be united with the Supreme. Unless and until we have a mindset, how is it possible to unite? So, mind is to be tamed. And therefore Krishna tells the ultimate aim of this meditation is that one who has conquered his mind, the mind is his best friend, otherwise it's his worst enemy. So the idea is that if we conquer the mind, the Lord is achievable. We will be very near to Him. It's an automatic result. So we should know the meditative processes. But we have to be wise enough to choose also. So we will be able to utilize the best bargain of the bad situation. We are in a completely chaotic situation otherwise. And we have been faithfully trying to adhere, course, but the faith has to be nurtured, verified, make it strong and practical. So this is the aspect. We can have a 5-minute session for practical demonstration and try to see how the meditation works. Then you have questions. How much time do you have?
I think maybe we do a bit of meditation and maybe questions.
That will be good enough? Okay. So please, sit straight. If possible, do not lean towards the seat, back. Keep your back straight. You have to take deep breath and hold the air. Then release it. Now, we will combine the chanting also, so you will have to open your mouth. Now, generally when you take in breath, you will not be able to open your mouth. Only you will be able to open your mouth when you release the air. Right? So, take deep breath, hold it, and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Release. Take a deep breath. Chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Release. Take a deep breath. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now spontaneously, keep on doing for 5 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
you can increase the pause time while holding the breath, can increase as much as you can, but chant full rounds slowly so to match up the pacing. Now, as for example, when you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the longevity you hold the breath, better it is. But now, in this meditation, we are employing only two senses, the vibrating and hearing. But the other senses are open, unengaged. So, in this process of chanting with the beads, you know, we chant with specific numbers, means you have to intelligently determine how much time you are going to put forward to meditate. This determination is an intellectual aspect over the mind. Mind will say, oh no, I don't have that much time, don't come in. But, you know, when you are enthused to do something, do with a determination. Don't let the mind dictate you, because the problem is with the mind, not with your intelligence. So, chant the number of rounds. One round has 108 mantras in it. So, while chanting on the beads, don't close your eyes. You have to see. A very specific way with the conception of these beads in relationship with Krishna's pastimes is there. There are a couple of conceptions people can think of according to the scriptures. But the main aspect to keep the conception but chant in such a way that the whole mantra manifests before you. Of course, you may not be much familiar with Radha Krishna, Rasa Leela and other things. They are very deep subject matters of meditation. The chanting on the bead, however, engages the sense of touch. We use specific fingers because it gives a scientific good fulcrum and very easy process. We can't chant with the index finger or roll the bead with that. Therefore, we use the two middle finger and the thumb, which gives the highest fulcrum and of continuous chanting without tiring effect. Second thing, my eyes will be opened. I don't have necessary to close the eye, because I want to see that, let my eye be engaged in its function of that aids the chanting, proper chanting. I should chant only one mantra on one bead. So the eye will see. Even the sense of touch will also see. But eyes are very sharper than the sense of touch. When I go blind, at least my sense of touch will try to locate the things or try to function as the eyes were doing. But that is not perfect. So the eyes are better than the sense of touch. All right? So I should utilize it. See, I chant, I rotate my bead very carefully in the conception that I have meditated. Then I have to hear
So three senses are simultaneously used. The fourth is the sense of taste. I should chant very specifically. Specifically, very clearly, very clear syllable. Clear the syllable, better the effect is there. Alright? So, the hearing process will also recognize that, yeah, you are chanting correctly. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the tongue gets twisted and we chant something else. Right. The sound vibrations should be identical with the syllables too. So clarity comes. When we speak, we give the meaning or convey meaning very clearly. We don't have to speak in tongue to communicate with each other. It is very difficult to be legible. Right? So the idea is that clarity, so vibrate clearly, hear clearly, then the smell, if it is holy basil and some sanctified beads are there, even we use some scents, so the engagement for the nose will be there. So in this way, don't allow any sense not to be engaged in this process. It's difficult. Simultaneously you engage all the five senses. But the technique is pretty easy. Technique is pretty easy. Others, the technicality is extremely difficult. Can you imagine the Ashtanga Yoga, when the process of meditation goes on? It was meritorious in other ages, but in not this, the age of high tech. You know, information technology, it is growing so fast, we have to keep pace, but yet we have to keep mind in control. You know, so we need a process which is recommended within the scriptures itself. So, this process has been there of meditation through the sound vibration. By engaging all the five senses, the mind is guaranteed to be captured, controlled. We prefer that we chant attentively, means engage the senses. But there are also subtle situations that even to keep our concept very straightforward and in tune with the absoluteness of these holy vibrations, we have to keep so many things in mind, in attention. They are called offenses to the holy name. Offenses to the holy vibrations. Because the concept is that the holy vibrations are non-different from the manifestations of the Lord. So, the spiritual equality, harmony is to be established. So, what is a big deal in a name? You may think a rose is a rose is a rose. By name, rose is a rose. But the name rose and the objective rose, both are different objects. But name of the Supreme Absolute Truth is identical. That is the realm of transcendence, and that is achievable. This is the process, and it is recommended in all the religious scriptures of the world. Everyone takes help of the holy sound. Who is not doing it? Not that I don't know. You might know. So, I thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
Yes.
How it was found out that, that was the sound of God?
How? Yeah. Right.
How was discovered? Who who started to say that
is the sound. Oh, okay. Where does the knowledge emerge from? Where does the knowledge come from? When something is created, the manual is there. The manual is called religious scriptures or revealed scriptures. The revelations are there. It cannot be manufactured by a tiny brain, which will be so much provable. Otherwise, how come even a faith will generate it? So the point is, the revelations have to be verified, and the practitioners verify, and then put forward into his congregation to develop that faith in them. Right?
So it was a revelation to a person or a group of persons?
It depends. In the Vedic scripture, they have been propounded by the Supreme Lord himself. Came in many distinct forms. And one of the forms we call literary incarnation. And the presentations are in tune with that. And so the culture of the practice was developed through that. We call Vedic culture. The Vedas were literary aspect of apaurusheya, means not ordinary Homo sapiens. So at least there is an acceptance of some high authorities there, higher authority.
What's, can I ask a question?
Yeah, no problem.
So, like, comparing this concept with the Buddhist concept of the mind. Because you talk about mind as well, but you talk about this entity or God outside the mind. How does it differ or is the same?
There is nothing outside. Everything is
the mind.
Within the absolute whole.
Oh, okay. So the, I would say the name of that is the absolute truth. Us. For example, for the Buddhists would be mind, or for Christians would be God, you know, like that entity, the mind thing, you call it absolute.
The mind of the Supreme Lord, you may say, but the mind is a faculty of our makeup. Mind is not everything. As for example, the soul is a distinct entity, but when it comes in its opposite nature, called material nature, the spirit comes in material nature, in contact with material nature. It acquires a false or tainted body, which is subtle in nature as well as gross. The gross is called the body, and subtle is made up of mind, intelligence, and ego. So these three faculties are our inner faculties. They are within our body. Mind, intelligence, and ego. Right? And generally it may be located in so-called brain or cerebral hemisphere. Right? But mind, intelligence, and ego is so subtle than the brain itself that when person dies, he leaves the gross body but not the mind, intelligence, and ego, which are also material in nature. Therefore, the concept of reincarnation follows.
But our process is to establish how to free the mind while existing in the body. And these integrations, they have been given in the revealed scriptures. You don't have to die to free your mind.
But when you free your mind, you're still going to die.
The death is only to the body, not to the soul.
Yeah.
Soul is an eternal aspect.
There are means of reincarnation, meaning that there is an afterlife, where it's the same entity that will continue development, or we can regress in development as well.
There is a little misconception about reincarnation. Reincarnation means change of body. Right? Even medical science says that our present body is not the original body. Every 7 years, all the cells are dying. And they have been recreated. You know? And in a normal human span of life of 100 years, we change body 14 times, continually. But what we call death is another change of body.
So
means the acceptance of a new body will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been habituated, even in this lifetime, to change 14 times. This process will go on. But that who determines the change of the body is what kind of desire at the time of living this present body, what kind of desires are locked in the mind. The living entity will be dragged into that kind of suitable body to fulfill those desires. So it's the desires of the living entity that keeps on changing the body.
Keeps on coming back to this body,
yes.
Physical body.
So, the evolution or degradation depends upon the kind of desires.
And those desires will be controlled, or they will be transformed. Let's say, like, somebody's been practicing the sound for a long time, but for whatever thing happened at the time of day, felt afraid. What happened? So it's been accumulated, or it's just moment of death that wasn't prepared.
Mm.
Would that determine
the next body? See, the thing is that if somebody is practicing, so there are more probabilities he will remember the target. So there are two promises. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals this and tells that antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram saprayati madbhavam jati natra samshaya. At the time of death, whatever desires, if somebody desires of my nature, the transcendental nature, the transcendental sound vibration produces the sound, transcendental nature. So, at the time of death, quitting the body, one who thinks of me, he certainly achieves my nature. That is one promise. Another is, whatever desire is locked up at the time of death, he is guaranteed to get into that continuation to fulfill that particular desire. Means he will achieve another body. So, man is the architect of his own future. What kind of desires he will be locked in? That depends upon his entire karma or life, life's activities.
Will it be like a nirvana or heaven or something, and when will it happen, or it will continuously just creating and recreating?
Nirvana is just like a liberation.
Mm-hmm.
is an initial state. But the soul is dynamic. He can't remain inactive. Otherwise, how he became manifested? He cannot become desireless. We can become free of the desires of unwanted things, but we have to aid those desires which are conducive to our evolution. And it's too difficult to become desireless, zero. Nirvana means zero. But you are one, you are not zero. But this was in Indian history, you know, it has been said for a particular purpose that Lord Buddha appeared and showed this particular way of Nirvana to negate certain aspect of wrong practices. You know. But then it has been also re-established in a gradual way, so we can come up to the point of, you know, the highest emancipation. Nirvana is a state of liberation. All our expressions in this material world are but a shadow expressions of our reality. So those activities will have to be continued in the absolute realm, but not with our ideology. It should be totally transformed into the transcendental nature. When you think of shadow, shadow has a kind of unidentified variegatedness. The shadow has also different shades, what we call. But unidentified variegatedness is there. There, everything is so crystal clear and identifiable when you are in the light of knowledge or realization. So, the soul has a function to come out from the ignorance and to the state of realization. Om asato ma sat gamaya. Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. Tamas means ignorance, darkness. Come to the light of knowledge. And mrityumar amrutam gamaya. Mrity means the death or so-called forceful taking up the wrong bodies.
Once you have come to that light, would you stay there? Or there is a possibility that you come out of it again?
You can come to the point of light through the process of knowledge, right? But higher than that, it is explained of is the yogic process, because it entails not only the knowledge, but a meditative aspect on thinking on the concept itself.
So the moment, the moment you stop thinking of it, you are out of it.
No, you. The moment you will think and stop thinking, you are pull back in the material pool again.
So it's a constant repeating for eternity.
Or dovetail your life in such a way that everything becomes a reminder of thinking of the Supreme Whole.
I think I'm just saying, it's at some point where you break through, you don't have to repeat anymore. You've had it liberated. You don't have to keep repeating.
Yeah, but the thinking doesn't stop in the form of liberating. What do you do? That's what my question was. Liberation is a hanging state. The soul is so dynamic, it has to do functionality, and therefore it adopts the same functionality but in pure, distinct identity and relationship which are absolute in nature. Therefore, this material world becomes a shadow. or all our activities are shallow. Here the actual love we are hankering, but it is ending up in lust. Lust is a shadow of love. Love is reality. That is the fact.
Swamiji,
yes.
You said that in this time and age, the transcendence like of the being is very difficult. Like, why is it? Is it the conditions we are living or the generation of our being?
If you see the details of the process that you have to perfect in meditation, they are very, very fine tuned. And from the information from Bhagavad Gita, which was told about 5,000 years back, Arjuna has been accepting these difficulties. And Krishna affirms them that, yes, it is very difficult. Manaha chanchalam Krishna pramathi balavadranam tasyam nigraham vayorivashudushkaram. It is very difficult to control the mind. It is easier to control the wind, but it is very difficult to because of the chanchalam sthiti, means flickering state that it is. It is highly agile. You know? So the main purpose of meditation is to control the mind, and Arjuna being such a qualified person, he sees this difficulty. Alright? And Krishna says, you are right. But if you perform all your activities in consciousness of me, according to, and these activities are determined by the quality and activities of the persons. So if you perform according to your quality and activity for his pleasure or for the consciousness of him, then there is no problem. The same result will be available. So, what is practical, what is applicable, has been said. And always think of him. In this age, that is also again in the revealed scriptures, this meditative process was in the age of Krita. Krita means Satya Yuga. Where the four pillars of religion was existing, you know, and that is truthfulness, saucham means purity, then daya means mercy, and the fourth leg is what's that? Austerity. Right. Austere. Austerity, purity, mercy, and truthfulness. These are the four pillars. One pillar was broken down when this age was. So that is Treta Yuga. Where austerity was removed. Alright? Then again in the third age, which is called Dwapar, one more has been. That is Satya, truthfulness. And in Kali Yuga, little mercy is there.
This is Kali Yuga?
Yes. This is Kali. Its mercy is there, little mercy is there. But the other three pillars of the religion, they are already gone. So therefore, what process was recommended? Krite Dhyayato Vishnu. In the age of Satya Yoga, meditation was the means. Tritayam Yajato Makhai. In the Treta Yoga, the fire sacrifice, the sacrificial processes were the means of our salvation. Then in Dwapara Yoga, is Dwapare Paricharyayam. The temple worships, very gorgeous temple, where profuse donations were given. How much a person can donate
from plastic money, credit card business, you know. You can't be charitable much. So, therefore, Kalo Tadhari Kirtana, in this age, is the only the holy name alone. That is in the revealed scriptures. So, it means meditative process has, everybody is accepting, unknowingly even, through the sound vibrations. But of course, there are a lot of warnings also. Don't chant in vain. Isn't that it's written in Bible?
Yes.
You should not chant in vain. Means, don't chant inattentive. Why? You have to engage all your senses. So the holy name are used. In Islam, 99 names of Allah are there, and we have thousands, you know. In Bible, we chant the holy name of Jesus, Mary, you know. Any prayers pertaining to the Supreme Absolute, you know. Even in Buddhism, we chant the holy name, right? There are? Yeah, we have been taught. That's right. So, the holy name, holy vibrations are the prime important process. Right? They are in tune with the Supreme Absolute Truth. Do you think they are manufactured here? Nobody can construe the name of the Supreme Lord, just it is in the revealed scriptures. Revealed scriptures are written by realized people, and if we resort to that, we also become realized. That's the guarantee. And what is the better proof to the science? But it should be taught in appropriate way so people can become really educated about it. We can't go on simply strength of little belief. You know? We have to educate, make them verifiable, and then people can understand properly. Any other question? Oh.
Because there are other stuff, other learners are coming.
All right. Please teach. I thank you very much. I thank you too. Most of all. All right.
I have some other things to do. So there are some essays.